Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. This is Prophetess Crystal McQueen. Once again, welcome to Prophetic Atmosphere. Thank you for taking time out of your schedule to join me as we begin to delve into the Word of God, as we begin to share the Word of God and hear what is on the Lord's heart for His people. Amen. But before we get into that, I just want to go quickly into the announcements and then right into the message. Amen. Amen. This evening's announcements are as follows. Every Tuesday at 7 p.m. and every Saturday at 10:30 a.m., join my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, and myself for Kingdom Lifestyles broadcast. That's every Tuesday at 7 p.m. and every Saturday at 10:30 a.m. You could also join me for Prophetic Atmosphere every Thursday evening at 7 p.m. Right here, you can hear all of our messages and broadcasts live at www.ctkr.org. While you are there, if you would like Apostle McQueen and myself to come minister, if you have any questions concerning Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, or you want to leave a prayer request, on our website, we have a contact page. We'll give you all the detailed information as you need. Amen. Again, leave as much information as you need to give, and someone will contact you within 12 to 24 hours. Amen. Amen. We also have, amen, a Facebook page, Christ the King Redemptive Ministries and Women of Prophetic Destiny. Go to our Facebook page. Amen. Like us there. Leave a shout out. Let us know what God is doing in your life. And even while God is touching your heart and as He's ministering this word, and if this ministry has been a blessing to you in any way, please, amen, pray about becoming a vision partner with us, helping us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. Amen. Those are our announcements for this evening, people of God. And we just pray many blessings upon you, and let us begin to go into prayer and then get into the word. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's bow our heads. Father, in the precious name of Jesus, Lord, we come. We come praising you. We come worshiping you. We come magnifying you. We come lifting up our hands before you. We come worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We say thank you for this day. Thank you because you have made this day. And we are rejoicing and we are glad in it. We thank you for your protection. We thank you for your power. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your peace, God. We thank you for holding us together, keeping us, amen, keeping our focus on you. Even now, Father, as we delve into this word, we invite your precious Holy Spirit to come and minister amongst your people. Let me decrease as you increase, Lord, in my life and in the lives of your people, God, as they begin to pursue after you with everything that they have. Word my lips Amen. So that the people may hear, not with their ears, but with their spiritual ears, and that they may see with their spiritual eyes and move forward in the things of God in the name of Jesus. Now, Father, every sin, we ask for forgiveness right now. Cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness. Amen. Every deed that we have done, everything we thought, said, or did, that was not according to your will, we repent right now. We say we're sorry, and wash us in your blood from the top of our head to the sole of our feet. Wash us from the inside out. Purify us and make us whole in Jesus' name. Now, God, we give your name glory. We give your name honor. We praise you. We magnify you because of who you are. We thank you in Jesus' name. We ask all of this. Amen and amen again. Amen, amen. Tonight, I want to just begin to talk about, I'm going to take it back a little bit, amen, as the Lord has laid upon my heart, as I begin praying and seeking after and just fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. The one thing that the Lord has begun to continuously rehearse in my spirit and in my inner being is that to make sure that we shift spiritually. And I know I've been checking out all the different social medias and all, and everybody's been talking about shifting, shifting, shifting. One thing that I know, that as I was fasting and laying before him some months ago, that was one of the words and directions that he spoke very loudly in my ear, is that to shift, and to shift now. Amen. And I'm saying that tonight for someone out there, for people out there, God is calling his people to shift. And when I'm saying shift, I'm talking about we're expecting things to shift around us. Many of us have been waiting, amen, for the shifting. But God is calling for us, his people, to shift. And as you shift, amen, spiritually, as you shift in your authority, as you shift no longer holding on to the things of the past, or no longer holding on to the weights, amen, that have been easily besetting us, as you begin to move forward and shift in your praise, your worship, your prayer, your fasting, as you begin to shift in your word, as you begin to shift in the anointing and in your authority, then, amen, as you shift, everything else around you that needs to shift will automatically follow. Too often, amen, we have been waiting for God to do it for us. We really have. Many of us have become lazy spiritually. We've become lazy, and we just want God to do everything, when in reality, God has given us everything that we need to accomplish the goals, the task, the purpose, the vision that he has placed on the inside of us. I was having a conversation today, people of God, and one of my coworkers, who is also saved and loves the Lord with all her heart, she was doing a teaching on Moses' staff. And she said, well, what does the staff mean to you? And we began to have a dialogue concerning the staff. Now, if you get into this conversation with my husband, Apostle McQueen, he'll, you know, take you up one side of the Bible all the way down from Genesis all the way over to Revelation concerning the staff, because the staff has so much meaning. Amen. But we were talking about how the staff guides, how the staff represented authority in the scriptures that she was reading, how it represented authority, how it represented power, how it represented the level, how God was with them. And one of the things that we have to understand, as I'm getting ready to step into the scripture, we have to truly understand that as God is calling us to shift spiritually, while we're shifting, we have to remain focused. And this is another thing that he's been speaking into my ear, in my spiritual hearing, is because we have a lot, we're doing a whole lot, we're working, but we don't have a focus. And Apostle and myself were having the same conversation not too long ago before I came on the air, amen, is that we have people that are doing a lot of things, may be doing a great thing, a good work, but too often we have a lot of buildings that are not built. We have a lot of projects that have started well, but they have not completed because people somewhere along the way lose the focus. They lose the purpose. They lose the identity of the thing. They lose the meaning of the thing. And when you don't understand something and when you get off focus, you have a lot of mismatch, unfinished projects, unfinished tasks, amen. Nothing gets accomplished and you have nothing to show for the hard work that you're doing. And you're spinning your wheels and you're doing a lot of running, but you're running in place. And yet we don't see any distance. We don't see anything accomplished. We don't see anything to say, well, what have you done here besides dig yourself into a hole, besides start the project? And then someone else sometimes has to come behind you and finish the project. People of God, I want us to understand, and I want us to understand by the heart that when you shift, be prepared for whatever God is going to tell you to do. Accept what God is going to tell you to do. We say we want it. We say we want him. We say we want everything that he has for us. But in order for you to get what you really want, you're going to have to do something. You're going to have to make that move. You're going to have to trust him more. You're going to have that faith. You're going to have to start opening up your mouth. You're going to have to start speaking his word. You're going to have to start becoming disciplined, amen, in your spiritual life. You're going to have to start using, amen, the wisdom that has been poured into you, men and women of God, over the years by your pastors and your leaders who have been giving you the answers to the questions that you keep asking over and over again. They've been answering those questions. They have been showing you the error of your ways. They've been showing you how to work the problem out in the name of Jesus. And yet for some of us, we still choose, amen, to not do anything, but we want to sit there. And as we're sitting there, we're expecting something magical to happen, that God is just going to come along and do exactly what he said he's going to do. But without you stepping outside of the boat, without you walking on the water, nothing is going to change. And in the midst of all of that, you become frustrated. Jealousy starts setting in. Envy starts setting in because you refuse to move. But those who are taking God at his word, putting their hand to the plow and moving forward, amen, are going to be the ones that you're going to see the manifestation, the power, and the glory happen. You're going to see those things birthed out, amen. And we can't get upset. 2013, remember, for those of you who have been following this broadcast for some time, you know that I spoke about 2013 being the season of producing. I said, this is the season that we have to produce. 13, 14, 15, we only have a small limit of time, a small window. I know, well, 3 years, we got 3 years. No, technically we do not have 3 years because we're already through 13 and we're walking into 14 here in a couple of weeks. And we have 14 and 15. And before you know it, that time is going to fly past us. And you have to look back over your shoulder and say, what have I done? What is there left? What have I accomplished within that season? Are you still at the table? Are you still putting together the plan? Or is the plan already together and it's still sitting there and you haven't marked off one single thing? What have you done? Are you continuously repeating the cycles in your life? The cycle of, I'm going to get it together this year. This is going to be my year. This is going to be my season. And you get all pumped up and you get all ready to make and you buy all this and you put everything together. And you're like, now is the time. I'm going to do it. But then as the time goes forward and as the weeks go, weeks will move forward, months go forward, and you're still talking the same thing and you're right back here at the same place that you left back in 2010, back in 2011, back in 2012, now 2013, and you're still talking about this is my year, this is my season. Let me help you out, people of God. Just saying it is not going to be enough. Just speaking his word is not going to be enough. I don't care how much word you speak forth. I don't care how much, how many times the prophets, the apostles, excuse me, the pastors, the teachers, I don't care how often or how many times people lay hands on you and slather oil down until it drips off the back of your neck, until you physically put it into action, nothing's going to change. I know that that just kind of got up under somebody, because all this time you've been, it's my season, it's my time, you've been preaching the word, you've been speaking out the word, you've been fasting and everything else, but you still have not put your hand to the plow. You still don't have one business plan. You still don't have one list. You still have not talked to the right people. You still passing by the building and haven't even made the phone call. You're still talking about, I need to go back to school to get this degree and that class and this, and you still haven't made that connection yet. But yet you keep talking about, this is my time, this is my season, this is my hour, until, and this is something that God had to make clear to me, everything, everything that he has spoken, people of God, concerning you, it is already in you. I know we have a hard time with that. We have a hard time with that because people want it easy. People want to be in a place where they can tell everybody else what to do while they sit back and reap the benefits, while everybody else is putting their hand to the plow. But a little sleep, the Bible says, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands. And here comes poverty. Why are things not manifesting? Why are things not happening? I'm not here to scream and holler tonight. I just want to talk to you. I want to talk to us as a body. Because I see people of God on the different social medias, different things going on. People are hurting. Not only are the people that are unsaved hurting, but the people in the body of Christ are hurting. They're walking with limps. Many of them are blind in one eye. Many of them are bandaged up and bruised and beat down. Many are, life is seeping out of them. Spiritual life is seeping out of them on a daily basis. And those of us who have the answer, who God is preparing and shaping for the answer, many of us are still sitting here in a corner trying to prepare and build our houses when he's equipped us. Amen. To speak to the four winds, when he's equipped us to stand on our watchtowers and see from every angle and at every distance, see where the enemy is coming from, hear the voice of the Lord, and begin to speak forth with the power and authority and know that heaven is backing us up. Instead of us standing in our rightful places, speaking forward, speaking with truth, in love, with authority and the anointing, we're in the corner somewhere trying to build a shack and a shimmy and cover our faces and hide, talking about, Lord Jesus, when are you going to come? When people have been waiting on you for the answer. You are the answer. I've said that before. We are the answer. You are the answer to the lost. You are the answer to that one that's hurting. You are the answer to that one that is confused. You are the answer, man of God, woman of God, child of the Most High King. You are the answer. And it baffles me sometimes because we who have the answers are the ones that are sitting back most confused and most wringing our hands to all out talking about, I don't know. I don't know what, I don't understand. I don't understand. What do you mean you don't understand? When we have the word of God that tells us exactly verbatim what is and what shall come. Can you shift in this time, 2014 and on, you have to shift, because if you don't shift, you're not going to be able to catch up. Genesis chapter 12, starting at the first verse, simple passage of scripture, very familiar throughout the body of Christ in general, but it's something that was very interesting to me. Reading out of the New King James Version, he said, "The Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country." Right there, that had killed half of us right there, because the minute that we heard move from out of wherever we are, we got a problem. "I want the blessings of the Lord. Lord, I'll do whatever you say. I'll go wherever you want to go. I'll do whatever you want to do." "Okay then, my child, I need you to go." "Well, go where?" "Well, who am I going to go to?" "I don't know anybody. I don't know if I got..." "Listen, I got my job. What about my kids and my family?" Then we come with every excuse why we can't go. But at the same time, we screaming and hollering, "Lord, use me. I want to go." But what we're saying in reality is, "Lord, use me. I want you to use me as far as I'm comfortable with. I'm only going to give you this much now. And anything past that, you can't have." He woke Abram up. He said, "Listen, I need you to get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him." Didn't say them. It says him. "I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Verse 4, "So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him." And the word of the Lord is blessed. Most of the time, the saints only hear about, "I'll bless you, and I'll curse them that curse you." Oh, we have a time off of that. We shouting all up and down the aisles, shouting all over people's feet and pocketbooks when we hear that about being blessed and cursing those who try to come up against us, because I'm a child of the King and you can't come up against me, and everything you do, he is going to do back to you, and all that foolishness that we talk. But the thing that before Abraham, or at the time Abram, excuse me, was able to receive all of that, the remainder of the prophecy, in order before the rest of the prophecy came into manifestation, the first thing it said, you got to move. You got to get up and get out. What has God told you to remove yourself from? What has God told you to separate yourself from? What for some of you, he has already told you, "I need you to move from here to there." Let me tell you something, people of God, and I know my husband has said this many times before. We've talked about it over the years that we've been on this broadcast, but it bears repeating today. Where we came from, when we were up north, we had a church, a building, a thriving building. God was finally opening up the doors. We were hearing prophetic words about a move, but we had in our minds and our thoughts what the move might have been. We had no clue, no idea, nothing fathomed in our mind where we are today, which is in the state of Florida. God spoke to my husband as he was ministering that we were going to move to Florida. And I remember having a dream prior to that, years before we moved, that we were moving to the state of Florida. Finally, as he was preaching, the Lord spoke to him right in the middle of his message and said, "This is your last day. I need you to move to Florida." He stopped for a moment, looked at me. I'm just shaking my head. He turns back, finishes the message. Afterwards, he said, "God said, we got to move to Florida." I said, "Amen. Let's do what God say do." However, didn't know anybody in Florida. Florida was not one of our top 10 residents of places we wanted to lay our heads and retire. There's other places we wanted to go. We didn't know anything about the ministry. We didn't even know what churches were here. We had no part of what part of Florida do you want us to be in. We just knew we had to be in Florida. Had no idea about a job, had no idea where we go. Didn't know anything, didn't know anybody, didn't even know who to connect to, but we just knew we're moving to Florida. And so we began to make the trek. And because God was in it. We're in safe all the way. God made sure everything was taken care of here. And when we arrived here, then he began to open up other doors. You know when you're in the right place, so you know where you're when you're in the vein of God, because he always makes a way for you to receive better in that place. He always makes sure that you're fed with manna wherever you're going. He told Abram, listen, I need you to get up and get out of your country from your family. Both of us had to leave family in order for us to arrive to this place. When most of the time we say, God, I trust you. I'll do whatever you say do. Now, am I going to say, oh, yeah, we didn't struggle with it. We just got up and it was easy. No, it wasn't easy because both of us had full-time, good-paying jobs, living very well, doing very well. Not that we're doing bad now, doing better now than we were doing when we were there even. But the point I'm trying to make is we weren't hurting. And for us to go from a constant paycheck going into, well, I don't know what's going to happen when I get here, are two different things. And can you trust him? And when God says shift, you have to shift. Okay, Holy Ghost. God is saying for 13 and 4 or 14 and 15, for some of you, he said he's going to begin shutting those doors because he said he's been talking to you for quite some time and telling you, I need you to make a change here. I need you to make a shift here. I need you to move out from this place. And you still find every excuse as to the reason why you have to hold on, why you have to remain rooted, why you have to stay grounded. And God is saying tonight, I'm getting ready to pull you up like a weed and pull you out of the ground and place you where I called you to be, because you would not go on your own. He said, then there's going to be a wind that's going to pull you up and shift you where and plant you where I want you to go. Now, here's the interesting thing in that, people of God, is that when God has to physically pull you up and put you somewhere where he already ordained you to be, it's not going to be as comfortable as you think it's going to be. That means sometimes God begins to start shutting things down. In other words, all those little, let's just give an example, because we're still talking about get out of your country from your family. So that means all that popularity, wherever you have, obviously you're staying there because everybody knows your name. Obviously you're staying there because you kind of carved out a little niche for yourself. But what happens when that niche or that well or that vein starts drying up, where all of a sudden the doors that were open start getting slammed in your face? All of a sudden your name starts getting spread. All of a sudden lies start getting spread. All of a sudden the money starts drying up. That job that was so plentiful to you, all of a sudden things start happening where it looks like they're going to start laying people off. And oh, by chance, that pink slip lands on your cubicle that Monday morning. Now you need to start looking. Now you're like, oh God, what's happening? I don't understand, Lord. I'm trying to rebuke the devil. No, don't rebuke the devil, baby. The issue or the purpose, the plan was, is that God told you years ago that this is the place you need to go. This is where I called you to do. You keep saying, yes, Lord, but you're not making any moves. So just like a child, the Lord loves those who chases those who he loves. So like your own child, when you keep talking to your child and they refuse to move, what do? You get to switch and you get to tag in those legs and saying, didn't I tell you to get over here and do what I say do? You start bringing them back in line. And the same thing, because he loves us so much, that's what God will do to some of us because we refuse, amen, to do what he told us to do. And because we're sitting there thinking we've grown enough, we don't have to make any changes. God starts making the change for you. Get out. This is the time. Whatever you need to do, if he's really been laying it on your heart, look around you. What have you been holding on to? What have you? Where have you completely planted yourself where you know good and well that the Lord has been talking to you, saying, okay, enough of this. This is enough. I got something better over here for you. I just need you to come on now. Come over here. This is going to be great. It don't look great. I know it don't look great, but you just got to trust me. If you trust me, it's going to be all right. Come on over here. Well, God, I don't, but I know this over here. I know you know this, but your time and your season is up here. Come on now, daughter. Come on, son. I need you to move. Abram had no problem. He packed it up. I'm sure he discussed it with his dad. I'm sure he discussed it with the people around him. But the bottom line is he made up his mind and he said, you know what? I'm getting up. The Lord spoke to him and said, get out from your family. For some of us, you got to step out from under family in order to get to your destiny. Some of us haven't arrived at our destiny because we're still concerned about what our family thinks about us. We're still concerned about how they feel about a certain thing. We got patriarchs and matriarchs that don't nobody breathe until they say something. Well, what Big Mama say? What Papa say? What Daddy say? What do you mean what they say? You sitting up here 25, 35, 45 years old, and you still talking about, well, what did they say? Baby, what did God say? Huh? What did God say? He said, get out of your country and from your family and from your father's house. See, for some of you, God has called you as the Joseph, male or female. I'm not putting any particular sex on this, but he's called you to be the one to save your whole entire lineage, to save your family. But you refuse to get out of that, get out from under them. You refuse to leave. I'm living on my own. Yeah, but you live around the corner where they can still pop up and show up over your house. Because the one thing, here's the thing I found, people of God, is that the Bible says a prophet is without honor in his own country and among his kinfolk. People who feel that they know you, when they become familiar with you, they become familiar with that anointing. And then when it's time for when God begins speaking to you and starts speaking, thus saith the Lord, and because of relationships, amen, we'll sit there and hold our tongue. Because of relationships, we'll say things and then family will scoff or laugh at our faces because, well, that ain't all that. That's just you. That's just you. No, I'm talking about what God had. Yeah, but that's just you. You know, you've always been. And you begin to notice these things because they always talk about what you used to do. Because people are comfortable with holding you in a place where they can handle you. They can't handle can't see and recognize the true anointing on your life. They can't recognize that God is doing something in your life and around your life. So they try to hold you to in your past. They try to hold you to what you used to do, who you used to be, at the level you used to do it and be it at, so that they can continue to lord over you to say, I don't have to be responsible to listen to you or listen to the word of God coming out of your mouth because that's just little Tina. That's just KK. That's just TT. When TT is the evangelist, when Tete is the pastor, when Sean is the prophet, do you understand when David is the apostle? People always want to keep you in a place where they can handle you so that they don't have to be responsible to the word of God in you. So God said, listen, I'm going to take care of all this. I need you to get up. I need you to get from out of your, get out the state or get out the country, get from around the family, especially your mama and all of them. Get out from over there, get away from your crazy cousins, all the other stuff that goes on. And you may even say, well, prophetess, I don't have a crazy family. I have a very loving family. Okay, that's fine and wonderful. But yet, if he still calls you out, you got to go. He said, and then I will to a land that I will show you. Believe me, people of God, Apostle and myself had no idea we were going to end up in Florida. That wasn't the goal. That wasn't on our, as I say, list of things to do. When we first got married, we never said Florida is going to be our ultimate destination. No, God said it was going to be our destination. And we're not stopping here. This is just a place where we have to birth out another church, but it's not our final destination. But yet we're still here. And he said to him, go to a land that I will show you. as you go in faith, as you go in trust, God will begin to reveal more and more. He said, and I will make you a great nation. I will make you a great nation. He said, I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless you. I will make you a great nation. Even goes back to the covenant, in Genesis 17, 4 through 6, as he says, listen, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be my father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be called Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. That did not happen, people of God, until Abram left out from his family and left his country. In other words, God is saying tonight there's some prophecies that are not going to manifest in your life until you become obedient, amen, to the first thing that he has called you to do. I don't care how much they prophesy. I don't care how much, amen, that they show you. I don't care, even if the Lord shows you, until you and I become obedient and do what he has called us to do, some things are not going to manifest. You're not going to see the great nation you're going to be. You're not going to see, and when I say see it, I'm not talking about see it in the spirit. I'm talking about when it begins to manifest in the natural. And some of us are frustrated, amen, because we're trying to make this thing manifest, but we never obeyed him at the beginning. You're still sitting there at 215 Stone Street. And God's been telling you to move for the past 5 years. He's been telling you to start that ministry for the past 5 years. Get that business going. Once you get it going, I'll bless you. I'll bless it. He said, and then, not only will I bless you, not only will I make you, a great nation. He said, I'll also bless you. Genesis 22 and 17. Blessing, I will bless you. Multiplying, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven, as the sand which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gates of their enemies. The blessing, you are blessed to be a blessing, and that it is a perpetual blessing that will endure till generations or until Jesus comes. Here's the thing. Many of us are too busy trying to get the blessing for ourselves. The next verse says this, and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. You shall be a blessing. I will bless you, make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. All we hear is, I will bless you. And make your name great. And who can care less about blessing somebody else? And that's the problem. Our churches, amen, the body of Christ has been so infiltrated with this prosperity gospel that it's really not about helping and blessing anyone else. It's how much more I can heap up on myself. How much more houses, how much more notoriety, how much more fame, how much more people can I get to worship me? How much more money can I get people to seed into me? How much greater can I be? Make me great. Make me great. Let me be high and lifted up. And we get so caught up in that that we forget that Jesus has called us to bless others. He's called you to be the paymasters. He's called us to be the paymasters. Now, everybody's not going to be rich. Everybody's not going to be living on in all these mansions and this, that, and the other, because it depends on the path that he has chosen for you. However, he's going to make sure that all your needs are met and that you're not sitting up here starving to death. So be it, if that's what he's called you to. And that's one of the things we really truly have to get in our spirits, is that whatever the path that God has chosen for us, we have to say yes to it, and we can't get mad and angry because it doesn't look like the path of somebody else. And we're too busy looking at people's paths and saying, I want that, and not realizing that, A, is it the path that God chose for them? Because some of us went down the path God never intended us to go down. But it's the shiny thing. You hear what I'm saying? He said, listen, I want you, and make your name great. I will bless you. Let me take it up. I will make you a great nation. Verse 2, I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. Those who support you, those who believe in the vision that God has put in you, those who believe believe that God has his hand upon you to do what he's called you to do, he will make sure that the support comes from the north, south, east, and the west. He will make sure that you don't lack for anything, because it's his will that this thing gets done. And he says, and I will curse him who curses you. Didn't say you go in there putting a curse on nobody. Didn't say you go in there and trying to pray and decree and declare curses upon folks' families and upon their jobs and everything they touch, let it fall to the ground and die. Curse it at the root and let nothing prosper and let everything fall apart and break up this and, He didn't say anything. God said, I'll take care of this part. He said, I'll curse him, not them. I'll curse him who curses you. In other words, don't worry about the haters. He'll take care of that. In fact, the reality is the haters is what drives you into the place where God needs you to be. Everything has its purpose in God. Everything has its purpose in God. And if he has to use the quote-unquote hater to drive you to your face, to call out to him and get your life right, then so be it. Now, when he gets you to the place where you need to be in him, he'll take care of the hater. But you'll be so far in him, you'll be finding yourself praying for the hater. See, we're not far enough in Christ because we're too busy trying to hate on the hater. We're too busy trying to make sure they don't go nowhere and get places and do anything. We're trying to curse everything they got. You're too focused. You're out of focus. I'll curse him who curses you. And if you read through Abraham's story and through his life, God took care of everybody who was trying to come against that man. Abraham didn't have to lift up not a finger. He wasn't having to pray. He was praying folks back, begging, Lord, I know. Look at Sodom and Gomorrah, interceding, knowing the people were a mess, knowing that they didn't want God, knowing everything about them was just tore up, but he was still interceding because he was that far into God. He was that close into him. The relationship was that tight. We give our haters too much attention, too much focus. We give our crutches too much attention, too much focus. We give our weights too much attention, too much focus. We give our families at times too much attention. Well, hold on, prophetess. You know, God is about families. Yes, he is. He's about the family. But we're talking when the family comes in the place of doing what God has called you to do. That's something different. That's something very different. He said, I bless those who bless you. That's interesting. Those, plural. And I will curse him, singular, who curses you. And in you, that's what he said, and in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And in you, man of God, woman of God, those generations that he placed in you, those people, those assignments that he's put in your belly, in you, those families shall be blessed. 18 and 18 of Genesis says Abram shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. Whose blessing are you holding up because you refuse to get out? Whose open door are you keeping closed because you refuse to get out? Chapter 22 and 18 of the book of Genesis says, in your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have what? Obeyed my voice. Obeyed. You did what I called you to do in spite of. Obeyed my voice. There's the ticket right there. There's the answer right there. Why ain't nothing happening? Why ain't nothing moving forward? Because you need to obey what he's called you to do. Let's do one more. 26 and 4 of Genesis. And I'll make your descendants multiply as the stars of the heaven. I will give to your descendants all these lands, and in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. God always deals with the future. God is always looking at your future. Our problem is we look in the present. We're always looking in the present and the past. Or I should say the past and the present. Many of us, we stay in the past more often than anything else. But God is always looking to bless the future. Think about it. You minister Christ to some, to a person, to an individual. They get saved. They go forward, moving the things of God, become who God called them to be, whether it's in the fivefold or some type of ministry or leadership position God's called them in. And as they have moved along, they have poured or preached Christ to someone else, become their mentor, trained, and birthed them in the spirit, as we would like to say. And these people become your descendants, your spiritual descendants. But if you don't even tell nobody that he is the risen King of Kings and the Lord, that he is the risen Savior, if all you focused on is, well, I got my salvation and I'm working it out with fear and trembling, that's all I'm concerned about. What's the purpose? You do know. Delayed obedience is still disobedience. Delayed disobedience is still disobedience. See, we don't look at that. We make excuses. We think we're doing everything right. But if you have not came into or even began on the path of pushing towards what God has called you to do, you're still in disobedience. And disobedience is the sin of witchcraft. See, we don't think about these things. We don't think we're hurting anybody. We don't think we're bothering anybody because we make up in our mind, secretly, I'm just going to sit right here. I'm not bothering nobody. I'm just going to stay right here. But yeah, you are bothering somebody because it is being counted against you. Not fulfilling what God has called you to do. Look, Abraham just began the journey. He got part of the way, and his descendants completed all what God has told them to do. It was perpetual. It didn't stop. It just started with him. Maybe you are the one that he just wants to start with. All he's asking for you to do is just step out. Just go forward. Just make a change. Make a move. Just do something. Write that book. Write that lever. Write that manual. Get that new job. Start that new business. Even if you have to start it in your home online, just do something he's called you to do. My husband say, he says all the time, he was like, if you do something, then God can blow on it. But he can't blow on something that's not there. But we want God to put it there and then blow on it too. We just some lazy folk, y'all. Lazy folk in the spirit. Lazy. And because we are, then we're missing out on ministry at all times. Ministry is just goes beyond just making sure that you show up on your designated weekly ritual and your Sunday service or Saturday service whenever you have it. Ministry is that woman that's at the cashier store. Ministry is dealing with that young child that you see every day. Ministry is your neighbor across the street, dealing with that mature person. Ministry is that young person that can't nobody stand. Ministry is getting out in the streets and dealing with those drug dealers or even the addicts or even the prostitutes. Ministry is just ministry. Look around you, people of God. Even in your church, there are people. Ministry. Even in your own church, everybody is, just because they're wearing a smile does not mean they're not going through. Does not mean that they're on their last leg. It's too many pastors here lately that have ended their own life because of the issues and just life general just coming down on them like a ton of bricks. And we're sitting up here, long as they preach us happy every Sunday, we let them preach us happy. We let them sit there in their offices 7 days a week while people come in with more problems, more issues, more circumstances with their hand out. We got ministers that sit there with collars and won't lift a finger to help with the ministry, but they want to make sure that they in a spot every Sunday looking good. As long as I'm looking good and I showed up and did my shout and my hallelujah when I'm supposed to, then I've did my part. But your pastor, your man of God, your woman of God needs you to help them lift up their arms and fight the battle. What we say, that's you. That's your ministry. That's your church. These are your sheep. I ain't got nothing to do with this. But yet you want somebody to call you elder. Yet you want somebody to call you deacon. Yet you want somebody to call you evangelist and prophet and prophetess. Give me the title, but don't ask me to do nothing. Then you don't need the title. Because if you're not making a difference in this world today, you're wasting breath. You're wasting energy and you're wasting time. And I'm about to switch because I feel something crawling up my back and I got to let it go because I'm tired. There's too much mess going on and we steadily sitting there with our mouths closed. Too many of us got our mouths closed and ain't saying nothing. And looking at it, talking about, oh, what a shame it is. He said, listen. He said, and in you. In you, man of God. In you, woman of God. And you, young man, young woman. In you, your family. All that is attached to you in the earth. All that God has for you. He wants you to be the blesser so that you can bless. He wants to bless you to bless others. But you have to be the first partaker. You have to get up and get out. You got to get out from around that which is familiar with you. You got to get out from around that which you have been comfortable with. I'm only talking to those who God has been pulling at your spirit, saying to you, there's more to me. There's more of me I want to give to you. There's more of me I want to show you. There's more of me there that I need to reveal to you. Because of the call I have on your life, because of the purpose, because of the destiny that I have put in you. I need you to reach for me, but I can't get to you. I'm only going to be able to deal with you until I won't be able to deal with you the way that I want to until I get you over here. Are you that one? If you're that one, then my heart goes out now. My plea goes out. Go. Walk on the water. I promise you, if you follow him, you won't fall. Walk out on that water. Step out. Become. Walk in that obedience and become what he's called you to do. Become so that you can be in to bless those and bless others around you. Come on, let's pray. Father, in the precious name of Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for the word. God, help us right now. Help all of us right now to begin to walk in obedience, to obey your voice, to obey the voice of the Lord, to begin to move out, get out, remove ourselves from what's around us, to break the cycles that easily have just been besetting us, that we have become mundane and comfortable with. Break every cycle, God, that is holding us, every cycle of fear, every cycle of doubt, every cycle of unbelief. Break every generational curse, God, in the name of Jesus, that causes us to sit there and just die. Pull us up by the root, God, and plant us where you have called us to be in the name of Jesus. Do it now, God. Do it now. Do it now. As we step out, we trust you. We trust you. We trust you. Help us to trust you even more. Help us to hold on to your words of truth even more in this hour. Help us to produce in this season and forward in Jesus' name. Now, for those of you who are not saved, please repeat this prayer after me. Father, I'm a sinner. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Make your abode with me. I'll do what you say do. Holy Spirit, have your way in me. Lead me. I'll serve you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, welcome to the kingdom of God. We at Christ the King Redemptive praying for you, that you would be led by the Spirit of the Most High to a Bible-believing and teaching church that's going to teach you and train you in this word, to teach you and train you to fulfill the call, the purpose, amen, that God has your life, so that you will know your kingdom right and live as a kingdom citizen. Amen. Amen. Listen, go to our website, www.ctkr.org. Again, pray about becoming a vision partner with this ministry, helping us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world, helping those ministries that are under our covering that are over in some in Africa and those in Pakistan, and helping them to push the vision that God has given them so that they too can fulfill the kingdom agenda and assignment upon their lives. Listen, I'm Prophetess McQueen. I love each and every one of you. And I will see you again next week on Thursday for another episode of Prophetic Atmosphere. Be blessed.